D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home in the $99 yearly Beehive membership. Where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Party Foul in Midtown, 2031 Broadway. We have a pair of tickets to tomorrow's game between Missouri and Vanderbilt. A pair of 50-yard line seats, to be specific. And you can win those if you stop by Party Foul and register to win. We will be doing the drawing at 5:45. So you have roughly 40 minutes to get down here and to register to win. You do not have to be present to win, but you do have to come down here. You do have to come down here to sign up. So if you are within the sound of my voice, 2031 Broadway, sign up to win a pair of tickets to Vanderbilt in Missouri. What are we looking at?
Well, the restream, we have a weird, the connection on the Wi-Fi is, we're on site, so it's not as, so it has a tendency for our screens. We get freeze-framed in very odd positions.
It's like,
I get freeze-framed on D-Mace's connection, and D-Mace gets frozen on mine, and Adam, you're frozen on both of ours.
Okay.
So you're... You got mid-bite when you're taking some nice chicken wings from chicken tenders. You had some hot tenders.
Medium spice.
The Party Foul food here is fantastic.
By the way, the turkey burger is great. That turkey burger was really good.
I had the Nashville Cuban sandwich, which I guess is an oxymoron. Is there Nashville Cuban? It's like, a fusion?
Yes.
Whatever it was good.
So come on down to Party Foul. You can eat all of the delicious food. They also have boozy slushies, including one called the Willy Pop.
Hey. I tried to get a boozy slushie, but they said they couldn't do it without.
Well, it wouldn't be a boozy slushie if it doesn't have booze in it, Derek. It would just be a slushie.
But I wanted it minus the booze because we're on air, man, and I'm driving.
That's like ordering a grilled cheese without the cheese.
I know, but I had to do it in this situation. I just wanted the sugar.
Yeah.
Basically, I just wanted the icy sugar.
Chase isn't here anymore, so you can drink on the job.
But I still can't do that. I got to drive home. But the smoked Gouda turkey burger was excellent. So when you come down here, get you the smoked Gouda turkey burger along with the things that Adam had and Willie had.
Yeah.
Take a look at the Willy Pop here. It's got your name written all over it, Willie Donick. The Willy Pop. It's right there.
And it got a bird on the front.
There's a bottle of liquor sticking out of it.
They're coming after you, Willie. Okay. The birds.
I wonder why that would be.
Exactly. Yeah.
I thought we were far enough away from, where were we?
From Portland.
From Portland.
Nah. Those are distant relatives.
Yes.
Those are cousins.
The word travels fast.
So we are here in advance of Vanderbilt's matchup against Missouri tomorrow at First Bank Stadium. Big game, a lot of stakes, not only in the SEC, but in the college football playoff race as well. You all know that College Game Day is going to be here, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on campus. Nate Bargatze will be the guest picker. Dierks Bentley and Kenny Chesney will be performing as part of College Game Day. A lot of excitement.
Willie will be there.
Willie will also be
there. I'm going early. I'm going to be the early bird.
Absolutely. So you can't forget that.
Let's not forget, there is a Saturday night in Smashville tomorrow night. So I will be working tomorrow. But before my work duties start at the Bridgestone Arena, I'll be right there. I'll be in the mix with correspondent Max Hurst.
They understand.
And correspondent Kara Hammer.
Hey, Willie.
So we all will be working the Predator game, but we're going to try to take in some of the ambiance on the lawn, which is we're only just a couple blocks from where that's going to take place. Just right up the street.
How do you handle, because I know you're not following the game, but you are following the game a little bit. Maybe on intermissions, you're going to check to see what the game
is. Well, fortunately, it's a 2:30 game. So it'll be
over and done with.
Pretty much, it'll be. Now, sometimes our pregame show
starts. So you got to warm. You got to taper your excitement, man, if they win. You got to take. What are you going to do?
I've got to do my homework before the game starts because my game preparation is going to go right out the window once that game starts.
Adam Willie's going to call out.
If I call one of the LA Kings, Pavia or something, you know I'm distracted.
Very much so.
But here is what I said at the beginning of the show, and I want to discuss it further. I would describe the Vanderbilt Commodores as a curiosity at the moment for the general population, the casual sports fan.
That's a great question.
They are a curiosity. You've probably heard what's going on just down the street here. Vanderbilt's ranked in the top 10 for the first time in nearly 80 years. They have a quarterback who has a lot of moxie. They have a coach who's incredibly likable. Vanderbilt alum, great story. There are a ton of stories being written about Vanderbilt football right now. But I still think they are in that curiosity stage. People are catching wind of what's going on, but maybe they're not fully invested. Like, hey, this is a cool story, but maybe not thinking anything more of it than that. Earlier, I likened it to when the Predators went to the Stanley Cup Final in 2017. When that run started, there were watch parties outside the arena. They were well attended, but nothing extravagant. But then the Predators swept the Blackhawks. They kept winning. The crowds swelled. You saw what it was like downtown when the Predators were in the Stanley Cup Final. Not saying that Vanderbilt is on that level yet. But I do firmly believe that if the Commodores can win tomorrow against the Missouri Tigers at First Bank Stadium with College Game Day there to preview it all, I think the Commodores will graduate from curiosity to Nashville's newest darlings. That's why I think this is a huge opportunity for the school, not just the football team. We heard Chad talk about it earlier in the previous hour. The spotlight has never been brighter on Vanderbilt football as it is right now. And Willie, you can provide for us the historical perspective as someone who was a part of the school, an athlete at the school. What could this win tomorrow mean for? Look, there are more games to play. This team has much bigger goals than beating Missouri tomorrow. But just in terms of grabbing the imagination of Nashville, what does tomorrow mean?
I think it even goes beyond Nashville. It goes nationwide. But like for an alum like myself, or in a person that's been watching Vanderbilt football since 1989, or even going back to 1988 when I went on my recruiting trip and saw a game at that stadium for the first time. All the football that I've watched, I can't speak for all the Vanderbilt fans, but as recently as 2 years ago, if you said, you know, they're going to have a chance as number 10 to play on game day, and if they win, they'll be in the conversation for the college football playoff. I would have thought that was like, yeah, D-Mace, you and I could go to Mars next week. Like it was like an unreachable thing. Like as recently as 2 years ago, they were so down. You remember. Like
yeah,
they had
yeah.
that. So it's a remarkable. So you're playing with house money, I think, to some degree for the existing fan base, right? Because we're loving every second of this, right? Because this is just uncharted territory. Even if they did not finish the way we hope they will, it's still a memorable thing. But let's bring it back to 2017. I think that's a great analogy because the Predators got an extra couple layers of fans out of that run. And what has been Vanderbilt's big, big issue in the football stadium is layers of fans.
Yep.
They need another couple layers of fans. They have always hoped that they could grab people that moved in from Michigan or, you know, they don't have a team that they've grown up with here and they live in a city like Nashville. There's a lot of people like that and they have not captured those people. Something like this, another win or two, maybe they get an extra few thousand season ticket holders and that helps keep out the opposition fans when Alabama and Florida and all those teams come in, which is has been all too often the case.
Yeah, Clark said it, you know, when we had him on earlier in the week. You know, when you have games like you had versus LSU, yeah, Vandy people showed up, but there still was too much purple
right
in the stadium. There's still – why? Because it's still lagging behind some.
Yeah, you and know? Those LSU fans bought the tickets
exactly
the
long ago.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. So you want to get it to a point – and this game and this season will help get it to a point where even before the season starts, those tickets are already bought by your students,
exactly,
your alumni, your fans. So then when game time comes, they only have their allotment of tickets that they were given to them. They don't have anything else, so the fan base will be predominantly Vanderbilt alums, fans, or students. It hasn't been that way for years, and it's getting closer and closer to being that, especially with that new stadium opening. So, I mean, what they're doing over right up the street, well, right behind us, as we sit at Party Foul, what they're doing right there on that campus is remarkable, knowing where this program was, like you said, Willie, 2-3 years ago.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's start with Adam in Portland. Adam, thank you so much for calling. Please go ahead.
What's up, Adam? Hey, you want to know what's interesting? So when Vanderbilt beat Lenora Sellers, he got hurt, and then they beat South Carolina, I was just going through the YouTube, like through my YouTube. If you hit the live button on YouTube, it'll show you who's posted live right now according to your algorithm. And I ended up seeing Elijah Campbell, who hosts the show in South Carolina. And I'm like, is that our Elijah Campbell that we used to
have
here?
It is.
And so I called the show, and I was like, Elijah. And so you know what they know about Vanderbilt? Nothing. They asked me to come back. They're like, you should be a resident Vandy fan for us because we don't know what the hell's going on with Vanderbilt. We don't understand why they're so hyped. I'm like, because they have a quarterback and they have a coach. And they spent money. That's it. Like, that's the end of the story. Like, Vanderbilt's never done any of that. They've never had a good coach, James Franklin, for 5 minutes. They've never had a good quarterback except Jay Cutler for 5 minutes. And they've never spent money on the football program. So, like, nobody knows anything about us. That's the answer. When I hear you say that, I'm like, nobody knows anything, Adam. Like, it's really weird. Everybody should know at this point, and nobody knows.
Thank you for the call,
They're
Adam.
They're doing things at unprecedented levels, not just – on the playing surface, but I think the attention and the they're being deliberate with the program. They're putting money into the program. They're putting resources into the program. They are deliberately trying to make this program a program that the alums, that the players, that the fan base can be proud of. We haven't seen this. Willie's been there. He's went to the school, so he knows. We haven't seen – it's not just the play on the field. It's everybody that is involved with it is doing things intentionally to make this a winning program.
Let's go to Randy on our phone line. Randy, thank you so much for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing? At the end, good. I've got a great dad joke. But I've been a Vanderbilt fan since 1966. I was 7. Fred Pace was the coach. I don't remember the score in 1971 when – Ole Miss beat Vanderbilt. What I do remember is going as a family to the 1974 Peach Bowl, and Dennis Harrison played, and then in 1982. So I remember a lot of fun memories just supporting them over the years since I was 7. You know, I've seen a lot of misery, but, you know, like I said, I don't remember any of the blowouts. I remember the bowl games and the trips on a bus to Knoxville to watch teams, you know, to watch Tennessee play, and also I'm super excited for this, and we, you know, take advantage of it. And then at the end, I've got a great dad joke in honor of Big Joe's birthday is tomorrow. It'll be a granddad joke. So here we go. What did one saggy boob say to the other?
Oh my God. What did it say, Randy?
It said, we've got to get some support here. People are going to start thinking we're nuts.
Oh, my God. Goodness. Randy, thank you. Oh, my God.
I was worried there for a minute.
We got to screen those dad jokes, David.
I know. Listen, I thought it was just going to be a good one. That's all it was.
Goodness. Oh, Lord.
You guys are going to get me in trouble.
Oh, Lord.
No, you're already in trouble.
You're already in trouble. Yeah, don't blame that on us. We ain't got you nowhere.
I am in deep doo-doo.
We tried to help you get out of it.
We did try.
In case you missed it, my wife, Bridget, who works down the street at Monroe Carroll, Vanderbilt Children's Hospital, she stopped by at the beginning of the show to lend support to her husband.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then she learned about all the hot mom loving I was doing on this show the other day that she was unaware of. Although she can go back and listen to the podcast, and I did give her a shout out as a hot mom.
Exactly.
So
and we had your back on
yes.
that.
Yes, I appreciate that. So between that and Randy's dad joke, I'm going to get in big trouble.
All we can hope for, D-Mace, is we're softening the blow.
Exactly. Because
the damage is done.
Already.
Oh, my goodness. Let's go to Mike on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Well, if you want to answer the question, it's called Get Hard and Rise Up on that previous joke. Now, I'm going to ask you something. We've got the NBA now, which is in crisis, and nobody's talking about it. It's almost like that nobody wants to talk about the massive corruption that's now going on with the FBI and the Congress and the Senate and even all the way to the White House. And none of the sports programs, including yours, are even raising the issue. Why? I mean, this is terrible.
Because of Vanderbilt football. Is that where you're going?
Yeah, Vanderbilt. Yeah, hey, I hope they win, and I support them. But you know what? What's happening in the NBA is going to affect Vanderbilt. College football, NFL, all sports. The corruption now that's going to be exposed is going to hurt. Don't sweep it under the rug. You remember the Chicago Black Sox? They were a team that had eight people that threw the 1919 World Series. That was one team, eight people. It changed baseball forever. Now what the NBA has done, and this is not some isolated incident with one team. This is across states. This is across players. This is across coaches. That the organized crime has infiltrated the NBA, and we know it's infiltrated the NFL. That will come out. So when we go and bet sports, draft teams, who do we bet on, and does Cam Ward have a busted ankle, or does he have a broken shoulder? That's what we're doing now.
Thank you for the call, Mike. We understand the point. That has absolutely nothing to do with what we're discussing.
Yeah.
Listen,
Vanderbilt.
We aren't sweeping it under the rug.
Vanderbilt
it's just
is doing
not
well.
Pressing to us.
Hey, if it was the NFL,
Friday.
We would be talking about it.
Exactly.
We're trying to have some fun here. If it was the NFL, we would be talking about it, best believe. But because it's basketball, it just came out. Frankly, if we had a basketball team,
yes,
in the city, it would be a bigger story. But because we don't have a basketball team, and we rarely, and I'm speaking honestly on this, we rarely talk about basketball. I wish we would talk about it more because I love it, but we don't have a team, so it's hard to talk about a sport when you don't have a team representing that sport in your city. So, with that being said, we're not sweeping it under the rug. We did talk about it some yesterday, but we're not going to allow it to dominate our airways because the Vanderbilt Commodores are doing so well and they got a big game and game day is here. So rightfully so, they earn the right to dominate our airwaves on 102.5 The Game here with DVD. They deserve that right. So we're giving them that right.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Vanderbilt, Missouri, and I guess the NBA gambling scandal. If you'd like to. We aren't sweeping it under the rug.
But it is a big story,
believe me. Of course it is. Of course it is. But we are playing to the broadest audience, and we are right down the street from Vanderbilt, where College Game Day will be for the first time in 17 years. And this is something that's more pressing to us at the moment than what's happening in the NBA, without disregarding how important that is. 615-737-1025. We see your phones. We see your texts. We'll get to them next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. It's Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are live at Party Foul, 2031 Broadway. In roughly 15 minutes, we are going to give away a pair of tickets to the game tomorrow, Missouri against Vanderbilt.
Okay.
50-yard line seats. We are doing that. We are giving them away in about 15 minutes. So if you are within the sound of my voice, 2031 Broadway, not too far from campus, and if you want a pair of tickets, you need to come here now, and you can register to win. You don't have to be present for the drawing, even though if you come now, you should probably stay because it's happening in 15 minutes. And the food is delicious and the service is exquisite here at Party Foul. But 15 minutes, we are going to draw a name. So be sure to get here. Let's go to Chris on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hope you guys are doing great. Listen, the things have changed in the SEC, and that's Vanderbilt. And the administration is fully behind the athletic department, which we've never seen before. So I think this is just the beginning of you're seeing kind of a change with their football program. And we're looking to attest to this. The administration at the school in itself, has never really backed sports the way they are right now. So I think this is going to be leading to more success in the future with more donors wanting to spend more money on facilities, NIL. And we've got to go get Clark Lee and Jerry Kill and Tim Beck a new extension. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, I do think Tim Beck in particular is going to be pretty sought after his offensive mind.
Yes.
So I do think it'll be he's earned it. He has earned a raise for sure. So, yeah, this is when you have success, this is part of it, right? Your coaches get sought after. You got to get raises. You have to continue putting the resources in there. So welcome to the game. This is where you wanted to be.
It's the big boy table.
Now this is part of it.
They poach. That's what they do.
Let's go to Steve in Nashville on our phone line. Steve, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
What's up, gentlemen? Hey, I was born. My father actually coached at Vanderbilt, so I didn't have a choice but to cheer for Vandy. And grew up watching Willie post up Shaq, so I've been through it all.
How many times did you see that happen?
Oh, he took him to school. He took Chris. Did you play against Chris Jackson, Willie?
Yes. When I was a freshman, Chris Jackson was in his second and final season at LSU. They beat Vanderbilt. They beat us at Memorial Gym. I think the final score is 121 to 113. Chris Jackson, a freshman Shaq, and a freshman Stanley Roberts.
Against Willie Donick.
Well, I didn't have much impact on the game. I did not have much impact on the game. But we did have two wins over Shaq in my career at Vanderbilt, both at Memorial Gym.
Yeah.
And not because of me.
Title is unbelievable.
Not because of me.
It was. But anyway, I'm just speechless what they've done over there. It's hard to wrap my mind around. And the stadium is great. We got seats in the south end zone, and they did a great job with it. So I just hope they take care of Clark and the coaching staff and keep them going. So it's super exciting. Can't wait.
Thank you for the call, Steve. And I remember when the SEC expanded, there was a lot of conversation about, does Vanderbilt even belong? Is Vanderbilt ever going to win a game?
When the reality of NIL was happening and they added Texas and Oklahoma,
right.
I think there was a sense of, are they just going to bow out? Right, because their season had been so poor the year before as well. I do think they had to decide, are we going to push forward or is this the time to get off the ride? And to their credit, they have gotten into the game of NIL. Because at that point, they were way behind. They were reluctant to get into the NIL game.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, why? This isn't what it should be about. But you have no choice because the ride was – the horse was way out of the barn.
They probably thought, like other people, this would be a fad. It is sort of we'll get a handle of it and, you know, we can go back to business as usual. But they found out, no, you're not getting a handle on it, and there's no more business as usual. Don't go on anymore. So you got to conduct business a different way. And if you want to, it was almost easy to sort of, back in the day, to sort of be in Vandy and say, you know what, we just gonna sit back here because ain't nobody paying attention to us. You know, if we win, great. If we lose, then people expect. So we can stay in the background, collect all the money, and just do us from an academic standpoint. But NIL forced everybody to either ante up and step up to the plate, or we're forgetting about you. And Vandy being a part of the SEC, which I think was a good thing for Vandy, because I think had they been in any other conference, I think they would have looked at athletics, even in this landscape, a little bit different. Say if they were in a non-Power 5, a Power 4 conference, if they were in some other conference, they would have looked at sports a little bit different. Because you're in the SEC, it forces you to have a sort of a level of competition when you go out there. You need to be competitive. And for so long, Vandy was not competitive.
Right, and that's where I think Chancellor Diermeier said, if we're going to try to be the best university, we want to be the best in sports as well. And that's the mindset that has helped giving them the backing. But I will say this, Adam, traditionally, and this will be the next test, now that they've had, they're hoping to have unprecedented success in football. That's what they're shooting for. They're hoping to have excellence in these other sports. They've just made a major investment, and now they're in the NIL game.
Uh-huh.
In the past, when they have decided to do something big in athletics, even the rare times that they had,
they've been behind.
Well, they've done it in little bursts, but then when they do it, there's kind of like, wow, we just did all this stuff for athletics. Don't have to worry about that for the next couple of years. And the coaches are like, wait a minute. We're just getting started here. We got us this. Now we need this. That's the next test is you have to – it's got to be sustained year in and year out. It can't just be a once every 5 or 10 or 15-year surge. It's a repeated investment. There's still play. If you ask the coaching staff over at the football, they still would like to get – Several other things, right? In addition to continuing to be competitive with NIL, there's always something that needs to be upgraded.
Sports is the front door to every university. In particular, football, when it comes to the SEC and the Big Ten, that is the front door or the lawn of every university. These kids are looking at universities, a lot of them now. How is the football team? How is the basketball team? So if you got a good football team, the uptick of admissions or filling out applications go up tremendously when you have a winning program. And Vanderbilt, they're starting to understand that from this standpoint. No longer can you just be excellent in academics. If you're a part of the SEC, you also got to be excellent in athletics. There's nothing wrong with that.
There were a ton of stories written last year, although Colorado was in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Big 10 and the SEC. There were a ton of stories written last year about the spike in applications to Colorado because of Deion Sanders. And Vanderbilt has some of the most rigorous academic qualities of any university in the country. It's incredibly difficult to get into Vanderbilt. But football is one way to get people interested. I'll tell you a similar story, which will be funny as I tell it. At least I think it's funny. When I was applying to colleges, George Mason University wasn't the college I wanted to go to. I thought of it as a safety school. But I wanted to be in the Washington, D.C. area, which is where I ultimately ended up going to college. That was the year George Mason made its run to the Final Four. And I was just like, am I not going to get into George Mason now? Because all of these people are going to apply to George Mason, who had never heard of George Mason until they beat UConn and went to the Final Four. And I did get into George Mason. I didn't go. But, like, I hear your point.
They got to the Final Four and you still blew them off? I can't believe it.
I mean, American University came calling. They have been nowhere near the Final Four.
They came with that NIL money.
Yes.
But that is true. I think we can all remember that game, right?
Yes. When
and that did wonders for that school.
Yes. Some quick notes about this matchup. From CBS Sports, Diego Pavia is 0-2 versus Missouri in his career. He lost to Missouri when he was with New Mexico State. Mm-hmm. Missouri is the only opponent Pavia has started 2-plus games against without a win in his career. And I can almost guarantee you Diego Pavia knows that. Like, Diego Pavia always needs something to motivate him. There will be no shortage of motivation in this game, but I absolutely know that Diego Pavia knows that Missouri is the only team he's played more than once that he hasn't beat.
Well, remember last year's game at Missouri. It was, I think, I'm trying to remember when it was. Was it right after they lost to Georgia State?
Yes, I believe that's correct.
And they were a double-digit dog in that game, and they took them to double overtime and had a chance with the ball to win had they scored a touchdown. They ended up kicking a field goal, goes to double overtime. No, I remember what happened. They scored a touchdown in the first possession of the first overtime.
Burden, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, Burden then caught a pass on their first play. Like, if they shut him down, they win the game. So they were very close to upsetting a pretty good Missouri team last year there. And I'm sure that's in the back of their mind.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on Vanderbilt's matchup against Missouri tomorrow afternoon. We will also unveil our winner of the pair of tickets to see the game when we come back. We'll wrap up the week with Take It to the Bank. D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick is presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are at Party Foul, 2031 Broadway. We will unveil the winner of the tickets to the game tomorrow momentarily. Willie Donick will be doing those honors.
But before we
get to that, let's take it to the bank with our friends at F&M Bank, banking made easy on purpose. Visit one of their locations throughout Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky or online at myfmbank.com. David Janes, let's recap. Last week, this week was a crap show.
For our two common questions, the first one was over under 55.5 yards for Tony Pollard. Me, Adam, and Dime said over, and Willie said under. And Willie, you got the under. You got the points for that one. And then
thank you.
The next one was
wasn't even close.
It was like I think he had 18. It was bad. And then for the second one, it was, will Vrabel get true acknowledgement? He did not. Adam, you're the only one that got that right. So you got a point there.
Because it was reported beforehand. You guys weren't paying attention.
Well, listen. Amy Adams could have, changed her mind. She's always good at changing her mind. So we never know. We don't know what she's going to do.
That is true.
Now,
all right, how did we do on our individual selections?
All right, so Adam, you said Drake May would have 3 total touchdowns. I think he only had 2. And then the Vols to cover at Bama at 7.5. Well, they only scored 7.
That's a funny joke.
They only scored 7. So technically, by technicality, you got a push. So I'm going to give you the points for that because it wasn't over 7. So you got 3 total points for 33.
What? Huh?
Yes. So it was.
Hold on, David. If I recall correctly, I said that, and they lost by 17.
No, they lost by 7.
Yes.
They lost by 17?
It was 37-20.
What game were you watching?
Oh my God, I'm reading something wrong. That was on me. That's on me. Never mind. Listen. Hey.
I'll take the points
if you're giving them away.
Listen.
No, you're not.
Listen. That's on me.
Oh my
goodness. I take full responsibility on that one. That was on me. You get 1 point.
Deduct yourself some points.
You got 31 total points.
You're giving it a point for that.
For free.
Willie, chill. All right.
Just checking.
Now let's go to Willie, Mr. All up on my butt. You said
the complainer of the group.
Yeah, the big time complainer. You said Miami would win by 10.5. They did not. They lost to Louisville.
Wrong.
You said Ohio State would cover.
Up. What the heck happened?
25.5. And you got that point. So you got 4 total You got 50 points. And then D-Mace.
Very nice.
Derek?
D-Mace, you had 2 touchdowns. You said, words are hard. You said Diego Pavia would have 2 total touchdowns. He got 3, so you got a point there. And then you said Cam Ward would throw a touchdown. You also got a point right there. So you got 6 points for a total of 28 points. Now,
all right, I'm moving on up.
You're doing well. You're getting there. You're almost close to Adam. Everyone else, you're not really that close with. But now let's go to me. Memphis over UAB plus 21.5. That
wrong.
Did not happen. That was a big bad wrong.
No.
But I did say that Vandy would have combined 3 rushing touchdowns, and I got a total of 5 points for that because Willie said that I could get an extra couple of points if that happened. So I got 5 points off that. Thank you, Willie, for allowing me to get those points for a total of 43 points. I got 43 total points. Now we're going to go to whoever has common questions. I don't know who has common questions.
All right. So 2 common questions this week, 1 Vanderbilt-related, 1 Titans-related. Let's start with Vanderbilt playing Missouri tomorrow just down the street at First Bank Stadium. But it's not about the game. It's about what happens before the game. It's what's happening on College game day. Yes or no? Will a Vanderbilt student win Pat McAfee's kicking competition on College game day?
Can
we make a caveat? He's got to make the first
kick. That's what I was about
right?
to say.
It
I
has
was
to
about
be
to say.
The first try. On the,
yes,
first,
on
try.
The first try.
No second chance kick. On the first try, will a Vanderbilt student kick a field goal successfully in Pat McAfee's kicking competition on College game day? Yes or no?
Dang, I wonder what the odds are of a kicker.
It's a total wild card.
I know. I want to say
yes. Remember, they were practicing.
I know. I want to say yes because I'm riding the Vandy train, but I need points too. I need points.
So you're going to say no.
It's a lot of pressure.
I'm going yes, 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 yes.
So Derek says yes. Willie?
I have to.
I get to guess. I have faith.
Vandy, don't go against your.
I have faith in the instructors that went out onto the lawn and ran the clinic. So I feel like Vanderbilt students absorb a lot of, you know, they're teachable, they're coachable. And I saw some of the film of them kicking. They looked like they were somewhat coordinated. Mm-hmm. And it's 33 yards.
Yeah.
It's not 40 or 50. So I'm going to say yeah.
Oh.
They're going to rise to the occasion.
Okay. Because I need points, too. I'm going to say no.
You're going opposite.
I'm going to say no.
You love
David,
chaos. You hope a guy hooks it right into the gallery.
I believe in these students.
It's Willie Donick square on the head.
That actually would be hilarious. I believe in the students. Man. Brock Taylor said that some of these kids might take his job, so I'm going to go with the Vandy students. We'll make a kick.
Okay, so 3 say yes, and 1 says no. The second common question, the Tennessee Titans. 14.5 point underdogs on the road at Indianapolis this Sunday afternoon. Will the Indianapolis Colts win by at least 20 points? Yes or no?
No.
20?
By 20.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, dude, that's, okay. I mean,
yes.
20.
Yes, I got to go yes.
This is some garbage time or something.
Yes. Dang. 20 points.
20 points.
This team's not good,
like
man.
You like the bookmakers are saying they are horrible. You're saying they ain't even, they're below not good. They're horrible.
David, what do you think?
I don't believe in this Tennessee team, man. Give me the 20.
Okay.
Man, that's a lot of points.
2-2. Have you seen the state of the Tennessee Titans?
I have, man.
Okay. Time for the individual portion of the show, the competition. I will begin. Give me an Eli Stowers anytime touchdown against Missouri on Saturday afternoon. And on Sunday afternoon, Jonathan Taylor will have at least 100 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns.
100-yard rushing is nothing.
He hasn't hit 100 yards in every game.
Look
I said 100 yards.
Against.
I said 100 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Look who he's playing against. He averages 200 yards.
But Derek, if he has 125 yards and 1 touchdown, it doesn't count. I'm saying he has to have 100 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns.
So if he don't have the 2 touchdowns, none of it
no,
counts.
No, he has to have 100 yards and
right.
2 touchdowns.
That's
okay.
Bold.
That is bold.
Going
I can get
with
that
the
one.
Degree of difficulty
I
here.
Get, I like that one.
Okay.
I can get behind that one.
Derek, go ahead.
Diego will contribute to 3 touchdowns tomorrow.
Okay.
3. I upped Danny. I went from 2 to 3. And I think Alabama will cover. What is it, 13, 14 points? I think Alabama will beat them by more points than that. I think it's 14.
Alabama is an 11.5 point favorite at South Carolina.
It said 13.5 here.
Oh, I'm looking at –
I see 11.5.
I see 11.5.
We'll go with the 11.5.
So Alabama will cover. Alabama will cover the 11.5 at South Carolina. Willie?
All right, I'm going to say Nashville native Mookie Betts on base at least twice tonight. And I will say it doesn't count if he reaches on like a fielder's choice. He's got to get on base by hit or walk.
Okay.
And I won't. I'll even say not by error.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Hit or walk. He's got to get on. But he'll be on base twice tonight in game one of the World Series up in Toronto where it's going to be buzzing.
Yes.
Elliot Friedman, et cetera. We had a lot of buzz for that. World Series starting tonight. And I am going to say I like Ole Miss to bounce back and win at Oklahoma. So I like them to win, but I'm going to just play it safe and say plus the 5.5. 5.5, Ole Miss, plus 5.5 at Oklahoma. I like their quarterback. That kid is showing me a lot. Another great example.
That's a safe bet, Willie. That's your safe bet.
Well, it's the line. I'm just taking the line.
Yeah, you're taking the point, John.
There's a degree of difficulty.
I'm playing with the lead.
What is the degree of difficulty in that?
Not as much as Jonathan Taylor, two touchdowns
exactly.
at 100 yards.
It's not.
There's no degree of difficulty. So you can just get 1 point.
I can play. I just need to pad
my lead.
Yeah,
you're playing it safe.
I'm playing it safe.
And just to specify, two rushing touchdowns.
Two rushing touchdowns.
Plus 100
touchdowns. Oh, that is. So, okay.
Very specific.
Yes. So it doesn't even count if he catches one in the
middle. No, I want two difficulty. Rushing touchdowns.
Man, he's looking for some big points here.
I'm looking for
major points.
So you might as well come to the studio Monday in Colts gear. They got to win by 20, and Jonathan Taylor's got to have this huge game.
Two touchdowns running.
It shows you how little faith I have. Did you see Jonathan Taylor at the end of the previous Colts-Titans game carving up that defense?
He ran through like five guys.
Yeah. Right, and Jeffrey Simmons ain't going to be out there this time.
Like a hot knife through butter.
So, David, your choices.
All right, so last week I talked about Memphis. They disappointed me, but they're coming back again strong this week against South Florida. I believe in my Memphis Tigers. I think they're going to get the win. The spread is USF -6.5. Give me 6.5 to cover. Let me get the Tigers to cover. And then also the LSU-Texas A&M game. It's a really good game, big rivalry game. Give me the Tigers of Death Valley to get the dub.
Okay.
Does Memphis have their quarterback? Is he healthy, or are they still going with their backup quarterback?
I don't know that one. But, I'm still going to go ride with the Tigers.
Okay. I was just asking. Maybe you knew something. Maybe you had some inside.
I might.
Maybe you got a phone call.
Yes, sensitive subject.
Every once in a while from the Memphians, we'll see. You never know.
For my Memphis peeps.
Willie, you have the name of our winner of the tickets.
Our buddy Cliff McArdle from our promotion staff has drawn the winner. He's passed it along to me. The winner of the tickets tomorrow, Vanderbilt, Missouri, Brian Voss.
Brian Voss of Nashville.
Yes.
Congratulations, Brian. We will be in touch with you for those tickets. Congratulations. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Going to be a hell of a game.
I can't wait to watch College Game Day. The one thing I'm hoping for is
I want to see Willie,
and we will get a full report from Willie on his College Game Day experience on Monday when we will be at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. But I need somebody to rub Nick Saban's nose in it tomorrow because Nick Saban has been the biggest Vanderbilt skeptic. It happened last season. It even happened last week. He was the only one on the panel who picked LSU to beat Vanderbilt. And even Pat McAfee said, do you ever pick Vandy? And he said, I can't get past the way that I perceived Vandy when I was coaching Alabama. So I want somebody to stick Saban's nose in it tomorrow. I'm sure McAfee has something planned, but the students as well. Y'all need to have something planned to rub his face in it a little bit.
Hey, listen, y'all need to be down there.
You have a challenge for somebody.
Every
you have a challenge.
Vanderbilt fan, student, alumni. If Willie gonna be there, y'all need to be there. Bring them all. 8 to 80. Bring them all. All Vanderbilt fans should be at game day and then segue themselves over to that beautiful new stadium that they're renovating. Those seats should be full of Vanderbilt students, alumni. Again, 8 to 80. Matter of fact, you can go as low as a month old. If they can come to the game, bring them to the game. They're going to need it. It's going to be an exciting, exciting game, exciting, exciting atmosphere out over at West End. So come on out and enjoy. You've been listening to the show. Be love. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful day, weekend. I love you. The team loves you. You hear the music. Don't forget about us. We will be back Monday from Kentucky to talk about a Vandy. Peace.